So I just found out this morning that today is National Appreciate Your Wife Day. So if your wife is here, just turn to her and say, I appreciate you. Go ahead. Just let her know. Just let her know. That's all they need, fellas. Every now and then, a little appreciation. That's really the thing. And then you go to number 7 up on the switcher up there, if you don't mind. And we began this sermon series last week called Essentials. And by the way, October Pastor Appreciation Month. Just getting that in there real fast here. Just kidding. I don't know where that came from. But anyway, appreciate your wife. That's all I'm saying. Also, today is National Cheeseburger Day as well. So maybe you can put those together in some way. Do your best on that. So we said last week, talking about essentials, that our Christian walk, our life with Christ could be described as a walk. That your relationship with Christ is like a journey. You're walking, moving, you're growing towards a destination. And we looked at this picture last week as kind of a metaphor for our Christian life, that we want to be going somewhere. And if you look at this path that you see, you can tell it's kind of uphill. And what it's saying is that, you know, our Christian life is not always easy. There are places to go, destinations that God is taking us to. So just picture yourself just for a moment on that path. If that path is your walk with Christ and growing spiritually, what are you doing on that path? Are you walking at a nice pace, or are you kind of sitting off to the side selling lemonade, you know, beside the stand? Or are you, maybe you're trying to run, but you're just not getting very far. You know, we said last week we're talking about these things that are essential, and essential means absolutely necessary, extremely important. And if you would say, Pastor Tom, I'm just not growing at the rate that I want to, I didn't feel like things are really moving in my spiritual life, I would say maybe you're missing something that is essential in your spiritual life. I said last week, the first essential was unconditional surrender. That we surrender to God all of ourselves unconditionally. And last week, we had 29 people baptized last week. And how awesome is that? Give a hand for that. And they were just demonstrating unconditional surrender. I'll come back. 27 of the 29 didn't know they're being baptized. They just came and took that step, and it was this amazing, amazing weekend. And here's number 2. The second essential of this 5-week essential series is this. Here's number 2. Number 2 is authentic accountability. Go ahead, write that in and just think about what that means. If I'm going to be growing spiritually, I need authentic accountability. I truly need to be accountable. What does that mean? Accountability means to give an account, a pretty simple definition, actually. It means I'm willing to put myself under someone's authority, to answer to someone. I'm willing to say, okay, I'll answer to you. I'll put myself under your authority. And it's a pretty important thing. A young man came to me at one point several years ago, and he wanted me to disciple him and help him grow. And we began to meet weekly, and I was trying to help him grow. And he really honestly was not accountable. He wanted me to encourage him, but he didn't really want to get any negative feedback. He didn't want me to say, hey, you're not trying very hard, or you're permitting the sin to persist. And he just really wasn't accountable. And I'll tell you, he really wasn't growing because he lacked that accountability. What are we accountable to? Here's the idea. Your second fill-in. You need authentic accountability to God's word. Just think about what that means. That I would be authentically, truly, genuinely accountable to the word of God. That God's word would be something that I would place myself under the word of God. Now, why would I put this ancient book in such a position that I would say, I'm going to be accountable, I'm going to put myself under the authority of God's word? Why would I do that? Because we understand this about the Bible from 2 Timothy 3:16. Just look at what it says. When I stop, you guys jump in with enthusiasm, please, as if you're watching football. That's how I want you to respond here. Not like you watched it too late last night, just like you're in the moment here. All scripture is and useful for teaching, rebuking, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God, who would say here, I'm a servant of God, raise your hand. The servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. All scripture is God-breathed. Theos neustos is the word, and theos means God, and neustos means breath. It means that all scripture is God breathed. It's the breath of God. It's what we see that has come from him through people who wrote his word for us. And what does the Bible do in our lives? Here's what it does. It teaches. It trains us. It also rebukes us and corrects us. It shows us how to stay on that path. Hey, who believes what I'm saying? Just say amen. Are you with me on this? Now, there's two things about God's word that you really might not make yourself accountable to the word of God. You might not say, I'm under God's word. What you might do is something like this. Just take what you like and say, oh yeah, I like that scripture. I like the scripture that says to cast all my cares upon him because he cares for me, but I don't like that scripture. Deny yourself and take up your cross and follow him. And the danger that we might have is to not really be accountable to God's word, but to make God's word accountable to us. I'll decide what I believe and what I pick and choose from the Bible, and we really can't live that way. You know, that's been how it has been since the beginning. The devil tried to have Adam and Eve pick and choose from God's words. But we've seen people throughout history picking and choosing from the word of God. Here's a pretty famous example. This is Adolf von Harnack. Who thinks that name sounds a little evil? I think it just sounds a little like Count Dracula. Could get a little feel there. But Adolf von Harnack taught theology for 45 years in Germany, and he taught his students this. He said, you can't trust the Bible. That's what he said. You know what he said? He's listed of one of Hitler's theologians because Hitler used his work to say, you know what? There's things in the Bible that really aren't Christian. They're Jewish. And you got to take out all the Jewish things from the Bible. Here's something he included in that section that would be Jewish. He said this. Von Harnack maintained that the Christian teaching that Jesus' death atoned for sin was obsolete and should be discarded. Can you believe that? Teaching theology. He was there at the University of Berlin, the head of the theology department, and really spreading these lies about the word of God. And there were some in the faculty that wanted to even things out, and they hired this man. His name is Adolf Schlegel. There he is right there. Lots of Adolfs in Germany apparently at this time, but they hired Adolf Schlegel to come, and he was a conservative Bible teacher. He believed the word of God was God-breathed, and you can't take some and add some and take out whatever you want. He was accountable to God's word. So Adolf Schlegel was coming to Germany to teach in Berlin, or coming to Berlin, and von Harnack met him at the train station, and he was there. Those that were watching said he was pacing back and forth to wait for this conservative scholar to come, and Adolf Schlegel gets off the train, and von Harnack immediately confronts him in the train station on the platform. No breathing time for Schlegel. And von Harnack says this to him. He says, so, you're standing on the Bible. And Adolf Schlegel said, no, I don't stand on the Bible. I stand under the Bible. Isn't that the idea? We're making ourselves accountable to God's word, to stand under the word of God, that we're letting it shape and affect our life in a very important way. Now, maybe what I'm saying right now, you're with me and you're kind of amening as I'm talking, but maybe also you're having a hard time. You'd say, Tom, I don't really know if I can really put myself under the Bible. I don't know if I can really do that because I don't know if I understand it well enough, or I don't really understand my faith or what I believe. And let me just tell you, if you're in that category of not quite sure what you believe or what you're thinking, there's a class we have for you called Starting Point. It's going to be going again tonight. It's just week two. Come back tonight, 6 o'clock, for this class, and you can really get in a conversation about faith that can help you to grow and know what you believe. We need to be, listen, authentically accountable to God's word every day. Just think about that. That every day I'm authentically accountable to the word of God. I'm going to introduce to you my very good friend, Pastor Tevis Austin. He's going to come now. Give him a little hand if you don't mind. Here he comes. And you might have noticed there's a slightly taller table on this side, and Pastor Tevis is slightly taller than me. So give him a hand if you would. Hey, Tag, you're in. There you go. Very nice. Okay. And he's going to take off the second part of our sermon. And here we go. Thanks. Oh, that's for me, not for you. Okay.
You know, as we think about our faith journey, one of the things that you need to know about me is I love the outdoors. I love hiking and backpacking and kayaking.
Doing those kinds of things. Got a picture here just of my family. Last year, we traveled up to Maine, Acadia National Park. Anybody been there? Acadia National Park. And we just had a great time. Did a lot of day hiking, because when it comes to my wife and my daughter, they like the day hikes, but if it was staying overnight, they would much rather stay in a hotel rather than a tent. Anybody here like that? You know, whereas me, I would rather sleep in my hammock. And so I got a picture here, I think, coming up right here. There's a picture just of me and some friends going backpacking. And if we zoom in right there, you're going to see my son and I there in the hammock. That's what I'd much rather do when it comes to camping and backpacking. But this past summer, my wife and I, we took a trip to the Smoky Mountains. And there in the Smokies, we're just checking out some different trails to do some day hikes, and we came across one that we heard just had an incredible view. They said one of some of the best views of the Smokies was right here at this point, and you're going to see. And so it was an 8-mile round trip. We traveled on the Appalachian Trail. We traveled out to this rock right there that they call Charlie's Bunion. Sounds kind of gross. The guy who named it thought it actually looked like the bunion on Charlie's foot. And so, but we got there, and we had lunch right there with just an amazing view of the Smoky Mountains there. And I want to tell you that when it comes to your faith journey, there are times when there's just an amazing view. Things are going well. You just sense God's presence. And there are other times when, well, the trail ahead seems steep. It seems rocky. It seems rugged. And it feels like, well, can I even do this? Can I even go on? And there are just these essential things that we're talking about, vital steps that you need. You need this in order really for your survival. Your journey kind of depends on this. Just a few years ago, a friend of mine, Steve LeMasters, he invited me to go with him to Arizona and Utah to do some hiking. And so we headed out that way. We started out Sedona area, and then we went to some different national parks. One of those was Bryce Canyon right there. And then we went to the Grand Canyon was one of those stops along the way. And there we are. We traveled about a mile and a half or so. We hiked about a mile and a half or so down into the canyon, and we even passed Ooh-Ah Point. Can you say that with me? Ooh-Ah. Ooh-Ah. Yeah, that's right. We passed Ooh-Ah Point and just had a great time. And one of our stops, though, was Zion National Park. And at Zion National Park, there's this place that it's a trail they call Angel's Landing. And you can see there, this the tall mountain there in the back. That's what they call. They refer to this as Angel's Landing right there. What the story goes is the explorers came to this area. They looked at that and they said only angels could land there. And so my friend Steve, he wanted to do this trail. I started researching, reading about it, and they said it was strenuous. It was going to be a rough climb, but he wanted to do it. I looked at the brochure, and of course, you know, you can rely on the pictures in the brochure, right? And the brochure picture had this one guy, he's standing, and there on his left, there's the mountain, and he's holding on to this chain, and on the other side, there's this drop-off. And I'm thinking, drop-off, but it's only on one side, I can do this. And so we start up this mountain. It was a two-mile hike ascending up this mountain, and every now and then we'd stop, and you can see in that picture, just looking back, and you can see the trail we'd been on, just some amazing views. And we finally get to the top. And we get to the top, and it's just kind of this overlook that looks out, and we're just thinking, man, we did it. We made it to the top. I mean, even at the top of the mountain right here, there's a porta-john. I mean, what more can you ask for, a porta-john on the top of the mountain? And so right there it is. But all of a sudden, I look over in the distance, and I see this ridge. And I'm kind of looking at that ridge there, and I'm noticing there's some people climbing up that ridge. I'm thinking, what is this? And so we kind of make our way over closer to that, and we come across this sign. And I see this sign, and this sign says this. It says, the next 1.1-mile round-trip route to Angel's Landing is a strenuous climb on a narrow ridge that's 1,400 feet above the canyon floor. And then I read this. It says, since 2004, 6 people have died falling from the cliffs on this route. Of course, now, all of the excitement, it's gone. And I'm thinking, what did I get myself into? I don't know how I'm going to do this. We're kind of committed. I'm thinking, that brochure was all wrong. I mean, there's not a drop-off just on one side. It's on both sides. And when it comes to a chain, that's just certain spots. I don't know if I can do this. But, you know, I'm committed. What was kind of ironic at the time is right next to that mountain, there's another mountain they refer to as the Great White Throne. And, of course, about this time, I'm thinking, I want to see the Great White Throne for real today. But we kept together. We encouraged each other up this mountain, that hike, and we made it to the top. We made it to the top. Yeah. And so what you find, though, when it comes to your faith journey, is how you view things is so important. Your view of things, it determines how you feel. It determines what you think. It impacts what you believe. It impacts sometimes how you act. It impacts your self-view, your decisions, your purpose, your relationship to the people around you, even your relationship to God. Your perspective matters. It matters. A mentor of mine once said this. He said, perception for people is often reality. Now, he was saying what a person What a person perceives of something, that's their reality. It doesn't mean it's true, but that person's perception, it matters. And I want you to know that not only is accountability to God's word so important for you on the faith journey to have the right perspective, but also you need to know that we need to intentionally seek accountability to others who will help us grow in Christ. We need accountability also to others. And this is what makes life healthy. Accountability, authentic accountability, makes life healthy. And we need this discipline, this discipling relationship on our faith journey to help us grow in our, to grow spiritually, to help create life change in our life. Because here's what happens. On our faith journey, there are these moments. They are just some ooh, ah moments where we just see God working. God is right there beside us. We see him transforming our life. We see him transforming the lives of those around us. But inevitably, there comes a time when you look ahead, and that ridge ahead, it's pretty steep. It's pretty rocky. It's rugged. The drop-off's scary. It seems impossible. And you wonder, if I can do this, can I do it? And this authentic Christ-centered relationship is so, so important. Because Christ-centered accountability is what's needed in your life to add truth and to add perspective. You need this in your life to add truth and perspective. And there are times when we desperately need somebody else's perspective to speak truth and to give us a different perspective from what we're seeing. A few weeks ago, I took a group to Canada. We went up to the Algonquin Provincial Park area, and we were canoeing. We were really far out on these different lakes, and this is a picture here of one of the lakes we were on, and there's me and my friend Sean just canoeing there, and we would have to carry our canoes and our gear from lake to lake in the process, and it was near the end of the week. We'd been doing this for a week now, and I was pretty tired, you know, and I'm just trying to find my sunglasses. It was a sunny day. I'm looking all over for my sunglasses, getting a little frustrated, actually, and a friend of mine, the guy who was there with me, and some of you have done this. A friend of mine, he looks at me and he says, what's going on? Why are you frustrated? And I said, I just want to find my sunglasses. I'm just trying to find my sunglasses. And of course, you know what he did? He looks at me kind of strange and he says, they're like right on your head. You ever done that? Yeah. And so, I mean, they were like right there. I just needed somebody to speak truth in that moment and somebody to see things from a different perspective. There are times when we need this, and essential to your faith journey is this need to have authentic discipling relationships that add truth and that add perspective so that you can be encouraged spiritually, so that you can create life change in your life. And discipleship, when it comes to discipleship, you need to understand that discipleship best takes place in the context of authentic, accountable, transparent relationships that are Christ-centered. And even Jesus, he understood this. I mean, yes, Jesus, he spoke to the large crowds. He spoke sometimes even just to crowds that were maybe a little smaller, groups of 20, groups of 70. But on a daily basis, he lived out this concept of authentic accountability in the sense that on a daily basis, he did life with 12 people. 12 people, this is who he did life with. But among those 12, he chose 3 people. Peter, James, and John. These 3 people, that they experienced things with Jesus that the other disciples didn't get to experience. They experienced times with Jesus when Jesus was on the mountaintop, like the time in Mark chapter 9 when Jesus, he meets with Elijah and he meets with Moses, and Peter, James, and John, they're the ones that are there in that mountaintop experience. But they're also the ones who are there that Jesus invites with them to the garden. This moment when he's getting ready to face, he knows the cross is at hand, he's getting ready to be arrested. It's these 3 in this moment that he says to them, my soul is overwhelmed with grief. Overwhelmed even to the point of death. There's a book that's called Discipleship That Fits, the 5 kinds of relationships that God uses to help you grow. And the writers, Bobby Harrington and Alex Absalom, in this book, they say this: the transparent context is the closest of the discipling relationships that we experience with other people. There's no hiding. It's raw, life-on-life interaction. And we come to see each other soul to soul. And the discipleship we experience in this kind of relationship, it's the most powerful because we are so vulnerable. We're so open. You see, authentic Christ-centered accountability is where you begin to see another person's heart. And it's in this context where you can be real. It's in this context where you can celebrate the mountaintop experiences. And it's also where you can be real and share your struggles and what overwhelms you. It's in this context with authentic, accountable, Christ-centered, transparent relationships that you can admit your struggles, that you can ask the hard questions, that you come face-to-face with your joys, your flaws, your doubts, your disappointments, with life. And it's in this context where the biggest change in life can occur. It's here where you can begin to learn to trust Jesus, to follow him. Maybe you're like me and you've had one of these moments where you just feel like you just can't go on. And you just feel like, where's God in this? Anybody ever had that? You just feel like, where in the world is God this moment? What I love about the Psalms is the Psalms are just a collection of poems and songs that were collected over five centuries. And when you read the book of when you read Psalms, you just see these writers who just share their joys, their struggles. They share their doubts. It's like reading somebody's journal. And over the past couple years, when I was just faced with this just a circumstance, just trying to make sense of life with the job I was at before I came here, I came across Psalm 89. And as I was reading Psalm 89, it says this. It says, I will sing of your unfailing love. Your unfailing love. I will speak of your faithfulness to all generations, for there's no one who compares to the eternal. O eternal God, commander of heaven's armies, who is mighty like you? You are completely faithful. That's why we trust you. Now, as you continue to read that psalm, you come to verse 46, the same writer, and he says this, how long must we endure, O eternal? Will you hide yourself forever? O Lord, where is the unfailing love you showed in times past? I'm like, is this the same guy? And it is. It's the same writer. That's raw. That's real. That's transparent. And I want to tell you, that's exactly how I felt. And it was at this moment when a friend of mine, he said to me, Tevis, you don't have to live like this. I'm like, what do you mean I don't have to live like this? I mean, it just feels like I don't want to go on. I'm just like, where is God in all of this? And my friend said, did you go to the end of the psalm? Did you read the very end of it? And so I go to the very end, the very last verse. And the same writer, he now says, praise the eternal always. Amen, amen. I mean, this writer, he goes from, God, you are faithful. You have unfailing love, to God, where is your love? To this point where he says, I praise you. And I realized that even in the midst of the struggle, this writer, he trusted that God was still faithful. And my friend, he said to me, Tevis, do you believe that God is faithful? I mean, do you believe that he's loving? Do you believe that no one compares to him? Do you believe that he's the God of heaven's armies? Because if you believe that, then even in the midst of the pain, even in the midst of your struggle, then you can know that God is good and you can anticipate his goodness. You see, it's in those moments on your faith journey, and I don't know where you're at on your faith journey, but these moments, sometimes when you struggle, sometimes even in the good times, we need authentic accountability. And we need authentic accountability to God's word, and we need authentic accountability to others. Because it's this authentic accountability, that's what adds truth. That's what adds perspective to your life. And it's also what provides faith for the journey. It provides the faith that you need for the journey. Because here's the deal, though. When it comes to this idea of authentic accountability, this is something that you have to choose. You have to choose authentic accountability in your life. But this is also where we want to make excuses. And for some of us, that excuse goes like this. We want to say, oh, I don't have time. I'm too busy. I don't have time for authentic accountability. And so let's just be honest. Let's just be real. Some of us, we are too busy. But some of us, we're busy because we want to be busy because then we don't have to deal with our stuff. The busyness prevents us from dealing with our pain, our struggle, or maybe it's an addiction, our doubt. Maybe it just prevents us from dealing with God. And you have to stop making excuses, and you have to make this choice to choose authentic accountability. Now, another excuse that we sometimes make is this. It's like we say, well, I don't have anyone. I don't have anybody. And so once again, let's just be real. Let's just be raw and transparent. The reality is, some of us, we choose not to have anyone. We choose not to have anyone because we don't want authentic accountability in our life. Because if we have authentic accountability in our life, then we, once again, we have to face our stuff. We have to deal with it. And I think, guys, we can be notorious for this. Guys, we want to act like I have it all together. I don't need anybody. I don't want to admit my struggles. I can handle this. And of course, girls do that too. But that's what happens. That's what happens. And so we avoid being real. We avoid being accountable. And we isolate ourselves. We isolate ourselves because then we don't have to face or deal with our struggles, our pain, our doubt, our addiction, or whatever it is you're facing. And I want to tell you, the enemy, Satan, loves this. He loves it. Because if he can get you just to isolate yourself, if he can get you to believe the lie that you don't have anybody, he will use that against you every time. And he'll keep throwing those temptations and those struggles right at you and make you feel like you're on your own. And you have to choose authentic accountability. And really, you have to choose this authentic accountability every day. Now, for some of us, legitimately, we really feel like we don't have anyone. And I just want to tell you, and really all of us here, don't settle there. Don't settle there. You have to choose authentic accountability. And that means you have to find someone. And for some of us, maybe that means starting there. For some of us, maybe it means a men's group or a women's study. Maybe it means Celebrate Recovery. But you have to choose to find some people to start journeying with, to start doing life with. It's a choice. Find two or three people to start doing this with. I was thinking about for teenagers or for young adults. You have to choose this in your life. And sometimes it means looking at people further along the journey and saying, can we journey together? Let's journey together. Over the past year, I have a group of guys now that are my favorite list on my phone that I know that I can text, I can call, that I said, I need this in my life. And now they know this too. It's like, I like to think of it as like we have a tree together. And if I'm in trouble or struggling, I know I can reach out to them and they will drop anything. They will go to war with me, for me, and pray for me. And they know that I'll do the same for them because we need this authentic accountability in our lives. We need it. We need it. And I want you to just don't think of this as an individual thing. It's for some of you who are couples, maybe you're new on the marriage journey. And what you need to do is to look ahead and find somebody else, maybe who has a little more experience on the marriage journey, and say, you know what, I'm going to reach out to them and say, will you journey with me? Let's do life together. Let's have this authentic, accountable relationship. And if you're here and you're just further along on the spiritual journey, you need to be looking around and saying, who around me? Maybe it's a teenager, maybe it's an adult, maybe it's another couple, and you need to go to them and say, hey, can we journey together? Because I want to provide encouragement for you, and I need that encouragement too. Let's journey together. Let's do this together. Because this idea of authentic accountability, it's essential for your faith journey, and you have to choose it, and you have to choose it every day.
Maybe you're thinking, maybe you're wondering, what would it look like to choose this accountability every day? And I would say it looks like this. Early in the morning, you're waking up and you've got your Bible and you take some time and you're reading it and you're studying it to let it teach you and train you. You're letting it instruct you, correct you, and rebuke you. And you're using God's word as a point of accountability every day. Choosing authentic accountability in relationships means that you're looking for people. Maybe it's just you seeing someone and saying, wow, I appreciate that person. I respect them. I want to go to them and ask them to be part of my life and meet with me and just talk about how I can grow spiritually and what they do and just choosing. Or maybe you go to a class or join a small group, but you're intentionally choosing it. Listen, your choices are so important in life. I had a really strange thing happen to me last Saturday night. It's really strange. I got this email out of the blue. How many guys get emails? Yes, we get emails, don't we? I got this email out of the blue, and the email, this is the subject line, "Are you Beeman Pound's son?" Really weird email. Now Beeman's a great name, don't you think? Beeman, what a great name. It was actually my grandfather's name. So I emailed back and I said, "Beeman Pound is my grandfather and Beeman Jr. is my uncle." And I sent it back. I'm like, that was the weirdest email I've ever gotten. And the guy sends me an email back again. His name was Lend. What an interesting name. Sent me an email back again and he said, "I gave you two pictures. Is the first picture your grandfather?" And I scrolled down, and that picture was my grandfather. And he sent me the second picture. And he said, "The second picture is a picture of your grandparents in 1948. So here's the picture that he sent me. There they are, right there. And I looked at this picture in my office on my computer, and I couldn't believe it. Because here's a picture of my grandfather. I've never seen him that young, and boy, is he handsome. Am I right about that? There he is right there. And there's my grandmother right there. There she's. I've never seen her looking so young. And I was looking at the picture, and I looked down, and there's my Uncle Bud right there. He's like 10 years old in this picture in 1948, and the picture is mislabeled at the bottom. The bottom says that it's Buddy, that's my Uncle Bud, and it says, and Denny at the bottom, but my Uncle Denny was born in 1948, so it can't be him. And I realized I was looking at a picture of a 4.5-year-old picture of my dad, and I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it. I was like, that's amazing. Now, since then, I've sent this picture to my family members, and my uncle and aunt have said, we have never, ever seen that picture. My grandpa said, I remember that picture. My grandpa, my uncle, he said, I remember that picture. That was in Boston, and the car in the background, we were going to buy that car and drive back to Columbus, and he said, I remember that picture, but I was thinking, this is crazy. I mean, think about my uncle and my dad right there in that picture. Here's them about 5 years ago. Here's what they look like, you know, in a few years ago, and they're all grown up. They live their lives. They've done everything since 1948 and until that picture. My uncle, he's right there on the right side. He went to the Marine Corps and he graduated from The Ohio State University. He worked at Ross Labs, became head of advertising for Ross Labs, now lives in Upper Arlington in Columbus. And his life, he made all these choices. Or think about my dad in that picture. There he is in 1948. What a handsome little fella. You know, he didn't know in that picture. Look at him for a second. He didn't know in 1948 what was going to happen in his life, that he would go to the Ohio State University and graduate. He didn't know he's going to go into ROTC and become an officer in the Air Force. And he didn't know that in 1968 he would accept Jesus Christ and then go on and become a student in seminary after marrying that woman. Give him a hand just for a second. There they are right there. And he would accept Christ, and he'd go on to seminary, and he would study, and eventually he would graduate and become ordained as a pastor. And then one day he'd feel God's call and go to the Philippines, and he didn't know in 1948 that in 1981 he would move to the Philippines and plant over 40 churches in just 4 years. That little boy didn't know he would one day move to Granville, Ohio, and on this land where you sit right now is where that picture is. That's the day we broke ground on the church to build the building here. He didn't know that in 1948. He didn't know that he would continue and have a fantastic marriage, and one day he'd be sitting surrounded by all his grandchildren. And he didn't know that one day one of his grandchildren, Cameron Pound, would look exactly like him. Now look at that picture. That's 1948, 68 years later. That's my nephew, David's son, my brother David's son. And look how much they look alike. Those genes run strong. I want you to think about this for a second. My dad had to choose how to live. He accepted Christ and he had to choose. Am I going to be this wishy-washy Christian that doesn't really grow, or am I going to seek accountability? My father has told me so many times how he began to study God's word and how he went from being practically an atheist to accepting Christ and growing to a point where he was so hungry for the word of God. He multicolored his Bible with different themes. He was studying and looking at it. He made himself accountable to God's word. And my father put people in his life to help shape him and help him grow and help him go forward. You know, his time is done. His battles are fought and won, and they're over. But look at Cameron for a second, my little nephew up there. It's uncanny how similar they look. Maybe you're in the position a little bit more like Cameron. He's still got his entire life ahead of him, choice after choice after choice to make, and that's probably the situation that we're in. We've got choices to make going forward, and what you choose matters. Look at me and listen. You have to choose to be accountable to God's word every day. And you got to choose to invite people into your life that can be real and honest and transparent with you to help shape you. People that will say the hard things to you and encourage you. You've got to invite those kind of relationships in a small group or in a class that you might take. The question is, listen. The question is, will you be accountable authentically or will you not? That choice will determine many things going forward in your life. Bow your head with me and I'm going to pray. The praise team is going to come up and they're going to actually lead us in two songs. One, a song of contemplation, and the second is a song of celebration. But as the praise team is coming up, I want to ask you right now just to examine where you are with this concept of authentic accountability. Who here might say, raise your hand, you know, Pastor Tom, I need to be accountable to God's word every day. Just raise your hand. I need that. I know I need that. I know I got to put that in my life. I need that. Maybe today you are stirred to join a Spring Hills University class beginning tonight, or look to join a small group, or just very organically go to someone that you know and ask them to begin speaking into your life. But you've got to choose relationships that will help you grow. I'm just going to pray. Father, I thank you so much. Father, as we're contemplating these things, I pray, God, we would see that authentic accountability to your word and to people in our lives is essential for us to grow. And without it, we're going to be wondering why we're not growing. Because we need your word and we need others to speak into our life every day. So, Father, I pray you move this congregation to understand how important it is to be accountable. And that, God, we can become all that you desire for us to be in this place and in this time. In your name we pray. Amen. Just contemplate these things. Pray about these things as you begin to sing this song.
Spirit of the living God.